comes the sun. Here comes the sun. And I say it's all right.
Welcome to Act Us on Air with Noemi. Join us every Friday night at 7 p.m. only on Double Radio 92.7 FM. The call line is always open at 844-967-2789. And welcome back to another show. Today I have some wonderful guests tonight who are going to speak about their projects of, creating electric little free libraries. And do you guys want to introduce yourselves?
Thank you so much. My name is Giri Venkataramanan. I'm a professor in electrical and computer engineering at the University of Wisconsin here in Madison. And I'm here with a couple of our students to talk about our exciting little project. And I'm really happy to join your team today. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Savannah Anand, and I am a junior undergraduate at UW-Madison. And I'm majoring in electrical engineering and computer science.
Thanks for joining us.
My name is Maitreyi Marathe. I am a PhD student in electrical and computer engineering, advised by Professor Giri and Professor Lena Roard.
Thank you. I was just wondering, can you talk about your idea and kind of where this idea came from?
So originally, this whole project started out with a competition that happened that was called the Solympics at Madison. And the goal of the Solympics was to sort of create some type of solar charging station in the community that would be accessible to anybody that was there. Mm-hmm. And the winning design of this whole competition was the electronic little free library. So if you're familiar with what a little free library is, the electronic part of it is there is a solar panel on top of the little free library, and what this does is it enables you to charge your mobile device, any device that you would have with you, mm-hmm. Without having to be connected to any official power source or anything like that.
That's really cool.
I just wanted to give a shout out to the first prototype that was made during this Olympics. It was by this team of four students, Sadek, Saneda, Gabby, and Claire, all from UW. And from then on, we took it forward, and we have a prototype installed in Racine, and one that was put up in downtown Madison earlier in the spring to get more data. And there are many more coming in the pipeline.
That's really cool. Thank you. Could you talk a little bit more about the prototypes and kind of that process?
So the first little free library electronic little free library that was produced, if you've ever seen sort of just like a general like electronic box that, you know, might even be on the side of your house that has just your basic electronics or connections with it, you know, something you might not touch, but your electrical company would touch. And we sort of had one of those just placed on the back of a little free library, and that held all the electronics inside of it. And this was connected up to the solar panel that was on top of the little free library. And of course, this original design, of course, was figuring things out as we were going, you know. And so originally, everything was done with a breadboard and wires and just figuring it out as we went. And now we're sort of to the point where we have a printed circuit board in production to make it so that each little electronic little free library, as we move forward, will sort of have the same type of wiring arrangement and we'll be able to put these together in a more professional manner, I guess to say.
Yeah.
And that really allows us to also make it so that this project can be available for anybody to kind of go out there and be able to understand just how to build this, what's going into it, and not being a very complicated process for someone to have to figure out.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I think that's also interesting. Not only is it something that, you know, is accessible, for people who understand this, but also just kind of like the commons in general. I was also wondering, I don't know that much about energy, and I don't know how much our listeners know about energy, but I guess just in terms of like the solar, is that something that's often used for the common, like, is it easier for like the commons, I guess, to have like solar power, especially, I'm trying to think of like the right way to word this, but I guess like
The general public,
the general public to be able to use that and kind of tap into that as a community.
Well, so one really great thing about this project is I think it is a good just starting point for people to realize that in general, solar power is something that the average person can use, and it's something that can be integrated into your everyday life. And there's almost, I guess, like a stigmatism around the idea that like the average person can be able to go out and use clean energy and green energy. And, you know, this is sort of a project that shows like it's an affordable option, and it's an option that anybody can understand what's going on with it, and anybody can sort of be somebody who is able to integrate this into their everyday lives.
Yeah.
And to add to that, yes, solar being ubiquitous and free to use and inherently distributed in nature, it is easier or the first option to go to when developing solutions for communities, especially those that do not have access to a permanent electrical connection. Now, that can be remote rural communities in South Asia or Africa, or it can even be people experiencing homelessness here in Wisconsin who do not have a permanent residence. So putting in solar with the Electric Little Free Library was in a way intuitive. And I must also say that it is, the Little Free Libraries look kind of cute. So people do want to go and approach them, learn more about clean energy and access electricity.
Yeah, for sure. What are some of the outcomes in the community that you hope to see with the Little Free Libraries?
So I would say just the overall general education among the community mm-hmm. about solar power in general, because it really is a topic that, you know, you don't actively learn about in a lot of situations. So this sort of just opens the conversation for people to start going out and learning about solar and learning how it can be integrated into the community and into their daily lives. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the really cool things about this project is, you know, we all know what a little free library is. Mm-hmm. And when you see like a solar panel on the top of it, it kind of piques your interest about it, and being able to just have that experience of going up and seeing what it is and being able to just sort of be like, wow, that's a cool opportunity that's going on, and sort of just sparking that interest is something that, you know, is just one of the main outcomes of this project that we'd like to see. And it's something that we have seen so far, is that it sort of just spiked the interest as we've gone forward of integrating this more into communities, talking to people about what they want to see out of the project, talking to other community members about how they think this project could be changed for the better or how it could be applied in a different way. And I think that's just one of like the best outcomes of this project overall.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and we also want to acknowledge that the Electric Little Free Library is in no way the final solution or the only solution to energy access for underserved communities, but it is definitely a piece of the puzzle. And in a broader energy resilience framework, I would say. And it also acts as a symbol, as Savannah said, for people to start thinking about clean energy and energy equity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. How did you kind of get involved with this type of project, or like what sparked your interest to be a part of this?
So I originally got involved when I had Professor Geary last year in the fall semester, and I had been talking about a different project that was going on in a class at an event. And at this event, there was also conversation going on at the table about the Solympics and the electronic mm-hmm. Little Free Libraries. And in general, it really spiked my interest. But as we sort of talked about earlier, some of these are going up in Racine, Wisconsin, and I'm actually from Racine.
Cool.
So it was this very funny coincidence that occurred that this project really hit close to home for me in several ways, that sort of not only could I relate to this project on a personal level, but also as somebody who is passionate about clean energy and energy equity, it was very much so just great to be able to become part of this team that's been working on this project in general.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and I, so as I said, I'm a PhD student at UW, and in our lab, the narrative is always to do a bunch of community engaged projects and inform our research questions based on the insights that we gain through the community engaged projects, trying to embody the Wisconsin idea as much as possible. And so I got involved in the conversations with the Great Lakes Community Conservation Corps, an organization based in Racine and Milwaukee that works with veterans who have experienced homelessness and reentry youth. And they approached us saying, hey, we have got this grant to make solar-powered phone charging kiosks. Could you give us some technical assistance for that? And since my PhD is in microgrids and solar-powered backup, our lab fit in well. And the person who connected us was Megan Levi from the Public Service Commission. And yeah, so a shout out to her as well. And yeah, so that's how I got involved.
Yeah, thank you. I noticed you mentioned kind of the Wisconsin idea. Could you kind of talk a little bit about that and kind of how you see this project kind of engaging in that?
Yeah. So the Wisconsin idea, the way I understand it, is that the boundaries of your lab are not just the four walls of Engineering Hall where our lab is, but maybe they are the boundaries of the state, and to expand that even further, the entire world. So whatever you develop in your lab has to be catered towards the needs of the community in and around you and the global community as a whole as well. So yeah, the Electric Little Free Library in a way is a great example of the Wisconsin idea, where we develop technology which is informed by the needs of the community. It is informed by their opinions, and we work with them and then go back and install them, the Little Free Libraries, with the community.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you so much to both of you, and we will be back after this break. Thank you. IPOS on Air. Welcome back to our finale show, and yeah, it's so good to be back. I'm excited. That song is also, I love that song.
It's kind of the IPOS song, you know.
It is. It definitely feels like home here.
We got rugs now, so I don't blame you.
yeah, for sure. Well, we are back and talking about the little free electric libraries. Is that how you kind of say the kind of the title of the project, or I don't know?
We say Electric Little Free Library.
Electric Little Free Library. There you go. Okay. I knew it sounded a little off. But yeah. So what kind of happened after Solympics?
Yeah. So at the end of Solympics, the winning entry was the Little Free Library, and the judges were veterans involved with Great Lakes and their directors. So they picked the winning entry that would be eventually developed into working prototypes that go into their facilities in Racine. So we got a lot of help from the makerspace, Lennon and Rebecca there, and then we got two little free libraries donated by their parent organization. And we worked with a bunch of undergraduate students to develop the electronics necessary to charge phones. And then one prototype was functional by the end of fall, went out to Racine and was installed earlier in spring. The other prototype, so I'm doing my minor in energy analysis and policy, and as a capstone project, we thought that we could explore how this can go into the Madison setting. And we spoke with around 20 entities involved in the space of homelessness and energy resilience in and around Madison. And then we went out and installed this prototype on State Street, collected data for over a month, and found out that there was a good amount of usage for the library as well as for the charging electronics. Building off of that, we have some exciting plans coming up, and I'll let Savannah speak about those.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, so currently we're working with the Great Lakes Community Corporation, or the GLC, mm-hmm. and we are planning on putting up 20 ELFLs in the Milwaukee and Racine area. So over the summer, that's been a lot of the work that I've been doing, is communicating mm-hmm. with them, prepping in getting the in how we will assemble all of these and get them all up by the end of the year, mm-hmm. because the goal is to have them up before yeah. the weather takes a turn for the worse.
Yeah, for sure.
And something that is really, really cool that I'm so looking forward to just tackling and getting more involved in is that we're planning on bringing this into the K-12 school systems that are also in Racine. So, you know, this entire idea about putting these little free library or electronic little free libraries in underserved communities, part of the challenge of that is also getting word out that these are a new resource yeah. for people.
Yeah, for sure.
So by bringing this into sort of the school setting, we sort of have that connection to a lot of the people who are in Racine of these are their kids. You know, it might not mm-hmm. be something that they are necessarily thinking about, but if, you know, your little kid comes home and they're like, hey, I've been working on this project and yeah. it's up in this part of a scene, you know, there's a lot of people are willing to go out and see that and like just have this moment of, you know, being proud of their kid with it being up in her scene. And besides that, we're also giving a chance for the younger people in Racine, so the students that will be a part of these projects, to sort of have pride in something that they've done in Racine as well. So just being able for them to go out into Racine and say, wow, that's something that I did, or like I decorated that little free, you know, like ELFL, is it's really exciting. It's a really exciting opportunity. And going back to what I said earlier, it's a really exciting way to once again open up that conversation about clean energy in mm-hmm. the day-to-day lives of people, and just moving forward with that is just something that like I'm really looking forward to. And we're already talking with some schools that are part of the Racine Unified School District about bringing the ELFL projects there and sort of using it as a way to also educate their students about solar energy and clean energy resources in general. And it's just something that I think is really going to take this project to the next level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. I really like how, you know, you combine kind of the community aspect, but also what you're learning, you know, in your classes, and kind of like actually connecting that. And I feel like that connects back to what you were saying with the Wisconsin idea and really bringing the education beyond the classroom. Yeah, and again, so the little free libraries, I'm just trying to picture this in my mind. So it's like a little free library, but then it has like the addition to it. Or is that not correct?
Yeah, that is correct.
Okay.
In a way that, so a little free library, for those mm-hmm. who haven't seen it, looks like a birdhouse
yeah.
with books inside. And it has a roof, so that is strong enough to put about a 50 watt solar panel on top. Mm-hmm. And that is the size of that roof. And then you have charging electronics that can either go in a box that attaches to the back of the little free library. That was okay. our first crude prototype. And then Savannah and some other students are working at modifying that to make it look more professional through printed circuit boards and getting it inside the little free library mm-hmm. so that it is resistant to weather.
Yeah.
Yeah, so one thing that she was saying that, like, moving forward with this is yeah. we sort of are operating under the idea of having almost two versions to talk about with people in the future and for mm-hmm. people to look at. And one would be, if you already have a little free library, you don't necessarily want to try and install electronics inside of it and having yeah. to alter it. It could be very difficult for somebody. Mm-hmm. So that is where we have the version that will be on the side of the ELFLs moving forward, comes into use and comes into sort of I guess, like, the best way to retrofit some of these solar panels onto older Little Free Libraries that might already be in the community.
Yeah.
And then we also have the ones where we're currently working on putting the electronics inside of them. And by having that, it sort of is just a good opportunity to make it look more professional.
Cool. Yeah. Thank you so much for also explaining that. And also, that was my question. But yeah, we will be back, and we will be back with our musical guest section. Thank you so much. All right, we are coming in with our musical guest.
It's a little music, you know.
Yeah, for sure. This is your music, right?
This is mine. Yeah, in fact, the whole show, I've been playing mine. I'm taking over.
Yeah. Except for Here Comes the Sun.
That's correct. Man, it sounds like you're in the room with me. It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. Yep. I'm trying to think.
You know, we've had this discussion before. I mean, this is the last episode.
Yeah.
Third season. Literally dozens of shows now.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel?
I'm feeling pretty good. I think we're at a good point. Just, I don't know. I feel like we have enough shows that we can look back at that we can kind of like move forward.
It's true.
We've done enough.
Like 75 or something. It's a lot.
Yeah.
Well, not that many. That's like
Well,
it's like
we've certainly 45. Had 75 guests.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
We've had a lot of guests. Yep. We've had a lot of wonderful guests.
Yeah. And honestly, the musical guests have been something else.
Yeah.
Like every week, I've said this before, but Noemi, every time, they're so good. So good.
Yeah.
Like Al got back to me the other like just 2 days ago. That was great.
Yeah.
Sturgeon, amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, man. So I got to hit you up for some recommendations on occasion. Because who are these people? Where do you find them?
I don't know. I think they seem to find us more, I think.
Okay. I'll take it.
We've had a lot of wonderful people reach out to us. And again, I mean, I can kind of plug us and just say that if you want to reach out to us, we're at inpursuitofsunshine@gmail.com.
Because In Pursuit of Sunshine isn't vaporing into the ether, right?
No.
The organization still exists.
Of course not. No. We're going to continue, and we're going to continue our mission. And I feel like I said this at the beginning show. I kind of like made this promise, like we're going to do this, but I'm not really making a promise. Like we're going to do it no matter what. Like it doesn't really. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we're continuing. We have another month of action coming up, October. Almost 4 years. 4 years on October 26th.
Wow.
So, should be good. But yeah.
So what are you thinking?
What am I thinking in terms of?
You know, you want to listen to a song?
I think so.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've heard this one before.
Okay.
It's changed some, you know, so judge it, you know, be critical.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let's give it a listen. Let's let you guys get back to the important stuff. This is just, it's a palate cleanser, you know,
mm-hmm.
Set the mood a little bit.
Yeah.
So I've told you before that I really adore the Postal Service.
Of course.
Benjamin Gibbard, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so this is that The District Sleeps Alone Tonight. It's sort of an instrumental cover.
Mm-hmm.
And I did it all. And I learned a lot.
Yeah.
And let's just give it a listen.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Yeah. Here we go. can't thank you enough, Noemi.
Thank you.
That what was... do you say? Do you want to get back to it?
I think so.
Let's do it. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. We are back, and this is Noemi, and we are back with our guests to talk about, let's talk a little bit about like the benefits of your project, because there are so many benefits that I see, but we can kind of start there.
So once again, I think one of the benefits that is really, really important to emphasize is bringing solar energy, clean energy into the community for just the general public to be able to use and understand. And from the get-go, when we're talking about making these 20 ELFLs, one thing that like I thought was super, super important was being able to make this a project that somebody who has absolutely no experience in electronics can accomplish by themselves.
Yeah.
And we truly are getting towards that point where anybody can do this at any type of experience level and be able to sort of connect themselves with clean energy, and being able to bring that interest in is just super, super important.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is that this project is targeted to help us serve underserved communities in specifically for now Racine and Milwaukee area, and those groups include those who are in low-income housing and those who are experiencing homelessness.
Mm-hmm.
And in these areas, you'd be surprised at how large the number is of people who are in these situations.
Yeah.
And so to be able to even give them this small resource and to be able to give them just a way to connect with family members if they need a phone charge, a way to be able to just stay, I guess to say, on the internet in a way, which is kind of necessary in today's world.
Sure.
It's just something that's super, super important. And I think this project has done a great job so far, and I think it will continue in the future to be able to just allow anybody to sort of experience clean energy in their day-to-day lives and be able to open the conversation to how does anybody help these underserved communities develop, and what resources do we need to provide for them to be able to succeed in the near future?
Yeah, for sure.
And to very quickly add to that, I would just add a quote from one of the veterans we spoke to at the Great Lakes. They said that they would go to neighborhoods during the night which had outlets outside the house, plug in their phone, because their phone was quote unquote their lifeline to schedule job interviews and get access to resources. And then in the morning, unplug their phone and hope that it was charged enough. So there is a clear need, I would say.
I think for a lot of people who have internet access, it's not something that you really think about, but it really does affect so many people, and some, you know, it's very specific. And I think also kind of coming out of the pandemic and kind of with virtual learning too, was that something that kind of affected your work and also like kind of the outcomes that you were seeing?
I would definitely say that after the pandemic, a lot of resources and scheduling has gone online, and the services that people experiencing homelessness get by going in person to certain offices and shelters have definitely been limited. That's what we found out when we had conversations with these shelters in Madison, and that in a way compounds the problem because they have to rely more and more on electricity and their phones to get access.
Yeah, for sure. I also wanted to kind of go back to when you were talking about like the team and kind of how many people have been a part of this project. Do you kind of want to talk about, you know, like how many people have been a part of this project and how that's been working as well?
For sure, yeah. I have been giving shout outs to a bunch of people, and the sheer number of students, graduate and undergraduate, and staff at UW, at Great Lakes that have been involved is is just so huge and in a way comforting that so many people want to be involved in this project, and it's going to be impossible for me to name all of them. But I would definitely say that the team has been diverse, not just because there have been a lot of women students involved particularly, mm-hmm. but also that there have been people from the community, the Great Lakes, people who have been who have previously experienced homelessness, and also there have been students. So there has been academia, there has been the Public Service Commission involved in a capacity where, mm-hmm. you know, you have representation from the government as well. So diversity in terms of the backgrounds from which the team members come from, that's super important as well. And I guess that has been the key to the success up until now.
Mm-hmm. I think something that I've always kind of talked about is, you know, how many people are doing amazing things during the climate crisis. But also, I'm wondering kind of within this kind of uncertain time, whether it be the pandemic, the climate crisis, a lot of other social and environmental factors. But what gives you hope in this time?
You know, just overall, like mm-hmm. the entire Electronic Little Free Library project is a beacon of hope in yeah. so many ways, because like we've been saying, the sheer number of people who have come forward and helped with this project and have been just key parts of sort of getting where we are now and who are going to continue help us get where we will be in the future mm-hmm. is It's amazing to see how many people are wanting to make a difference and are willing to go the extra mile
yeah.
and become somebody who can be a resource for anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just really amazing to see, you know, in the day to day of just working on this project. It's been absolutely fantastic. And that entire sort of perspective on it has given me a lot of hope. And personally, as I was saying earlier, I'm from Racine, so mm-hmm. some of these issues are issues like I've known about since I was young, you know, since I was a child, of low income housing in Racine and people yeah. who are experiencing homelessness in Racine and the lack of resources for them. And the first time I heard about this project, immediately, like, I was so excited and so hopeful to be able to work on this going forward and mm-hmm. being able to give back to these groups that truly want these resources. It's just amazing to be a part of.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you for also bringing up kind of that you're from Racine too, because that's really interesting.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, and I completely echo what Savannah said about, you know, the ELFL itself giving hope. And we had, you know, a bunch of people reach out to us on LinkedIn and through other platforms and reshare our posts and articles and gave us ideas about, you know, hey, can you involve K-12 students or high school students in designing more of these prototypes and making them? And in this time and age when, you know, you have so many people posting things on social media that oppose a particular idea, it was very mm-hmm. pleasantly surprising and warm to see so many people championing an idea that came out of a huge team effort. And yeah, that gives me hope.
Yeah. I really also enjoy that you've kind of specifically worked towards this specific goal. It's not kind of this larger or more generalized goal. It's very specific, and I feel like it has such a large impact and a large outcome. I was also wondering, kind of looking at like kind of climate change and the climate crisis, I was also wondering kind of how you see this as kind of a part of one of the solutions to that in a way.
Yeah. So I would say that, you know, we don't have a silver bullet mm-hmm. to solving climate change. And mm-hmm. maybe the strategy is an all of the above strategy, where yeah. we need solutions from at the policy level, at engineering and technology, through the community, through industries, bottom up and top down. And I think the ELFL fits in very well in this larger picture and larger scheme of things, and in the sense that it embodies two really important principles, not just clean energy, but also energy equity. And energy access. So I do see that, you know, this can be a symbol for getting people thinking about how the larger framework of things will go moving forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. I know you've talked a lot about kind of the process, but what is kind of the next step, or how can other people support you in this project?
So the next step, of course, is getting these 20 ELFL units up. And one of the most, I guess, important parts of this next step is integrating this project into K through 12 schools and getting mm-hmm. their involvement in it. And that's something that we've been working really hard to be able to do, because once it, like as we've been saying, you know, bringing this conversation, opening the door to this conversation, just putting it on people's radars is part of the problem that has to be solved. And so being able to sort of integrate this into the school system and being able to show to students, you know, how this can relate to their day-to-day lives, and sort of also give them skills as this project builds and be able to teach them important skills that they may not have yet, is just one of the next most important steps that we'll be going forward with this project.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and I would also like to add that we have a website for our lab called smplabs.wisc.edu. It stands for Sustainable Microgrid Partnership. So smplabs.wisc.edu. And we have a dedicated webpage to the ELFL project on there. And we keep posting updates of, you know, hey, this is a new prototype that came up. This is one of the reports that came out of a capstone project that someone did on this broader topic. And we also have contact details there. So I would encourage any and every one of you who is interested in getting involved or even has any idea or questions to reach out. And it takes a village, or even more than that, to take this forward. So, yeah.
Yeah. And I'm sure we'll put the link as well in our notes.
Oh, again, I already grabbed it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where can people find the podcast now?
The podcasts are now available at civicmedia.us. You can just head there, or you can go to civicmedia.us/shows. And we're sort of working on, you know, the general umbrella, Civic Media being the umbrella that the entire network now sort of stands under. And we're keeping up with it, you know.
Yeah.
It's been something else. But so that, once again, that's civicmedia.us. And I'll put that in the notes too.
Thank you. Yeah. I want to thank you so much for being a part of this and for sharing your mission. And kind of, I think this show has always just been kind of like what has given me hope at the end of the week. And thank you so much for joining and for being a part of our finale show.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Yeah, totally. Thank you so much for having us.
I did want to kind of talk about here at the end just a little bit about like our organization quickly, but I just wanted to say that you can always contact us at inpursuitofsunshine@gmail.com. And I believe that's probably going to be at civicmedia.us as well. So I want to thank everybody, for all of our guests who have been on the show in the past, and of course to our guests who have been here tonight, to Evan for producing, and to Devil Radio for allowing us to have this space and this time. But also, I think just kind of reminding everybody that, you know, this might have been a place for hope, but our mission continues off air as well. And I definitely want to stay and talk with you a little bit after the show as well about bringing it into K-12 schools, because that's something that I'm really passionate about. And we are, as an organization, are really passionate about education as well. Obviously the climate crisis, but yeah, I just hope that we can continue to be kind of a place for hope in general. But yeah, I don't know if there's anything else that you wanted to say to shout out for your project before we go.
You know, I think we're good, but just in general, yeah, if you're interested in being a part of this project, please feel free to just contact us. There's the website you can go to. Feel free to just look at everything and anything and everything that we've got posted there. And, you know, if this is something that interests you, or if you've got interests like this in the future, just go for it, and you end up being a part of a great project like this.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. This was Noemi, and that's the sauce. Good night.